This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at Alpha Centauri on the corner of Trash View and Nada Vista, somewhere like that, in a windowless bunker in the occupied states of America, somewhere in the Mountain West. It's all you need to know. So there. So it's Freedom Fiends. I want to talk about a few things I like here, and this is, you know, a lot of shows start with like, and here's our ads, and these are things I actually like, though. And here's a couple books that I'm not being paid to talk about that are just good and should be looked at by anyone who's interested in freedom or self-ownership or being prepared for whatever may happen when this current crop of 14-year-old idiots who think there shouldn't be self-protection get old enough to vote, become teachers and cops and lawyers and basically run the country. So the first one is Modules for Manhood by Boston Tea Party. It's What Every Man Must Know, Volume 3 of 3. I think it's something that women could learn a lot from too, but it's specifically, of all his books, these three are directly for men. It's Boston Tea Party, Kenneth Royce, founder of the Free State Wyoming Project. The project called Free State Wyoming. He's written a bunch of books. They're all good. Boston's Gun Bible has more than you could ever want to know about guns. It has a lot about everything possible, about every aspect of guns. You and the Police is a short book that is how I came to liberty. I read this book. I actually got we got into guns and because someone tried to break in our house back when we lived in California. And I ordered this book on shotguns, because at the time all we had was a shotgun. And after I ordered it, or no, when I ordered it, it said, people who bought this book also bought, and it had You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. And I bought it, read it in one sitting, pretty short book, took a couple hours to read, and was immediately exposed to not only how to protect yourself from the police, even if you're not a criminal. They still want, you know, police look at everyone as revenue. They look at everyone as fodder to put in a cage. They look at everyone as grist to grind through their mill, which is their job, because people are stupid. People want results with police measured by arrests, which is not really the measurement of police. The measurement of police should be low crime, not high arrests. There's a difference. So the way it is in America and in all countries, police are expected to have quotas. They may not be written quotas, because I believe those were ruled illegal at some point. Yeah, what are we going to do about that? Let me just pause and start up again. So police are expected to arrest a certain number of people per month. It varies. And it's certain amount of felonies, certain amount of misdemeanors, certain amount of traffic stops. Because their salaries are paid not just by taxes, but by the revenue they collect. And something else they're doing now is where they'll seize your stuff. If they see you have some money or anything valuable, they'll take it, even if they have no legal right to do so. And then you have to fight to get it back. It's basically highway robbery, which is nothing to do with protecting and serving. So this book, You and the Police, tells you how, even as a moral, law-abiding person, to avoid ending up in the maw of the police. Great book. Highly recommend it. Especially for anyone who thinks, I'm a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen. I would never do anything to get me arrested. Jails are full of people like that. They really are. There's another book I recommend, too. It's not by Boston. It's called Arrest Proof Yourself. And it's written by a former cop, former FBI agent, and former attorney. All the same person. Great book. Great book to read. So let's see. What else has Boston written? Hologram of Liberty, The Constitution's Shocking Alliance with Big Government, which is a book about how, you know, when everyone says, but the Constitution will protect us, and then more and more and more it seems like it's not protecting us. So that's something that was created in the writing of the Constitution. Hologram of Liberty presents the idea that there are weasel words inserted into the Constitution by the founding lawyers, which are different than the founding fathers. Hamilton was a founding lawyer. And that the idea was the Constitution was written sort of as a Trojan horse. It looked like something to protect people, but it had things in it to allow the slow expansion of the federal government to the point where now, you know, they can throw you in jail if, as Boston puts it, if your gun is too loud, if your gun is too quiet or your car is too loud. And he's talking about silencers and mufflers there. So, yeah, really good book. One Nation Under Surveillance. It's a book about the watchful eye of the state and gathering of data, which is all the rage now. Everyone's talking about, but this book is from 2009. It's not a new thing, and it's been going on a lot longer than that. You know, during up until the early 90s and a little beyond, for most people to read their mail, you had to physically intercept a letter and then steam it open and then look inside the physical letter. There's some people listening who are like, letter, what's that? You know, the things that the mailman delivers to your house that are now entirely, almost entirely trash and bills, but used to be, people used to write to each other, used to write letters to each other. They used to have, so the government or anyone who wanted to spy on somebody's mail used to have to steam it open. Now you don't have to physically touch anything. You don't have to alter anything. You just intercept packets on the internet. And the government, since the early 90s, has had rooms first in telephone centers, now in data centers, that are dedicated to just splitting off a copy of the internet and the phone traffic to copy it. So that's been around forever. Hitler would have loved what the United States government is doing now. If he'd had access to that, he probably would have won the war. You know, if he'd had the access to just spy on every citizen, might not have won the war, but sure would have thrown a lot more people in gulags regardless, you know, because it wasn't just Jews that were thrown in gulags. It was dissidents. And the idea of dissident back then would apply to pretty much everyone, you know, if you're listening to this phone, you know, anybody that questioned anything about the government and didn't proudly stand up and put hand on heart and sing patriotic hymns to the state. Yeah, Hitler threw all those into prisons and killed them. And it's sort of happening now, but it's a softer prison with the most part. I mean, there are exceptions. There are people who are in prison for thought crime everywhere. But more and more, what it looks like now to me is just compiling data, even if it's encrypted data that can't currently be decrypted, with one day in the not-too-distant future with quantum computers, it'll be able to decrypt that stuff. So they're just stockpiling it. And anybody who thinks that, you know, people who say things like, well, I don't care if the you like my voice? I put on like my Ward Cleaver voice for the statist. Well, I don't care if the government spies on me. I have nothing to hide. That kind of person is wrong. They really are wrong, because anything that you... Like, let's take, for example, a conservative, you know, who says, I have nothing to hide. I don't care if the government spies on me. And if that person thinks that, you know, a person who doesn't like homosexuality should not have to bake the cake, and that person should not have to bake the cake. And that's not a religious thing. That's a freedom of association thing. So if you think that the government should not force people to bake the cake, which is a good thing to think, you should still be afraid of the government spying on your ideas about that, because we're probably about two liberal presidents away from Cuba, you know, to where anybody who believes that is killed or jailed. Or the soft prisons I'm talking about are more like an unwritten blacklist. And I'm sort of on them. An example I can give is I used to write technical manuals for a living, tech books for O'Reilly Media, for Course Technology, which is the largest publisher of school textbooks in the country. You know, I made a good living at this. I mean, this paid for part of our house was about 10 years of writing technical manuals. And I cannot get work doing that anymore. And I don't have proof that it's because I'm not an inveterate liberal, but when I look at the Facebook pages of the people that used to hire me for that, they're all, you know, we must stamp out the Second Amendment. You know, there's hate speech is not free speech, you know, ridiculous ideas like that. And I'm very open and have been very open for about around the time I stopped getting hired for that kind of stuff, about 10 years, going on 10 years. And 10 years before that, I wrote books. But, you know, for about 10 years, I've been saying publicly that people should be able to own guns and defend themselves and that no speech should be banned. And that's not a popular idea with most people who run. Basically, publishing is run by liberals. You know, I'm not going to go as far as some people to say that it's run by Jews, but I will say it's absolutely run by liberals. It's, you know, liberals control most of the media, not all of it. They even control the internet in that. This is another thing I've noticed, too, is even while producing even better and better and better content over time, my things are getting less views because they're not showing up as high in Google searches, in YouTube searches, in Facebook searches, in Twitter searches. I'm basically shadow banned on Facebook and Twitter, even. And shadow banning, also known as hell banning, I guess I should say heck banning on the radio. So hell banning or shadow banning is a really insidious form of quashing a free speech whereby you can still post as much as you want, but none of your friends, even people who've subscribed to see you, can see it. So basically you can see it. Like anyone who actually goes and looks at your page can see it. And there's, you know, 5 or 10 people who do that. But the 2,000 people who've followed me on, you know, who friended me on Facebook, most of them don't, none of them, I think, see me in their feed. And the same thing on Twitter. And I've heard a lot of other people talking about this happening to them, too. And it seems like the more critical you are of leftist, communist, socialist thought, one worldy thought, the more critical you are of Facebook in particular, you know, or Twitter in particular, and the more you point out the fact that they do this stuff, the less you can be seen.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
You know, I fought a while back to, not fought, but tried really hard to basically get people to adopt a technology that allowed an uncensorable domain name system through the cryptocurrency Namecoin. And Derek Slopey and I developed software that allowed you to easily use this, which didn't exist before. And it required that people downloaded a free program, and it required that webmasters, people who ran websites, spent about 5 minutes configuring their site to work with this. And only about 20 webmasters I knew and about 40 people I knew downloaded the software. And this is a problem with people, is they're more interested in stimulating their limbic system by going, ah, the sky is falling, than they are interested in calmly doing things that allow them to protect themselves from the sky falling. I mean, this is it's not so true with physical things. Like, people will stockpile food. People will stockpile weapons and ammo and learn. Well, a lot of people who do that don't really learn any techniques to survive, too. But then a lot of people do also. So there are people who physically prep, but they don't really prep a lot with the data things. Like, we could have a decentralized internet. The world could have a decentralized internet. It basically involves building, you know, your own routers that are flashed with a BIOS that works outside the main internet, and everyone just becomes a node for everyone else. And if everyone in the neighborhood, you know, put an antenna on their roof for this could happen, this could be done. But so few people are interested in doing that. And even So few people are interested in doing the decentralized .bit domain name system. It's disheartening to me that so few people will do that. I mean, I could, back when I had people, you know, who were subscribed to me could see me on Facebook. I would post something like new documents show that the NSA is spying on you even more than you thought. And it would get 150 shares and 350 comments. And then the same week I would share something about here's how to actually protect yourself from the government seizing any government around the world, seizing your domain, you know, simple tutorial that I spent a lot of time writing because I'm a tech writer by trade or was. And I could write good tutorials, and I'd write these tutorials, and then like very few people would do them. So I'm kind of disappointed in humanity in that most people want someone else to do it for them. Even people who know that there are forces in the world that are not out for your best interests, and a lot of them work for the government. Even those people, the people that know, you know, there's people trying to censor your thought, aren't willing to take steps to try to not censor your, have your thoughts censored. But there are people who are willing to do things like that. And I'm done with trying to, you know, bang my head against the wall of humanity, trying to get people to protect their own data like that, or at least protect it from censorship. But I would like to encourage any programmers listening to revisit that. Go to the meowbit.com site while you can still view it. That's meow like a cat, bit like, you know, little bits of information. Meowbit.com. Let me check that URL. Meow, might be .org. I don't remember. I have so many domains, I can't remember them all. But Meowbit is the software created for that. And if somebody else wants to work to make that work easier so people don't have to do even as much and try to promote it, I invite it. It's open source. It's covered by the BIPCOT no government license, which allows use and reuse by anyone except governments or government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, I would encourage anyone to do that who has the ability to do that. And if you don't have the ability to do that, but you know some programmers, send them to meowbit.com. So let's see, we're talking about Boston Tea Party. His other books include Safari Dreams, which is a good book about African safari hunting, Boston's Gun Bible, Union Police, Moulin Labe, which is which is his only nonfiction book. It's a novel about basically the secession of the state of Wyoming. This is how I think a secession would have to take place. It's not, and this is probably a little bit of a spoiler alert, but really not, because I could tell the whole story and you could still really enjoy reading the book, because good literature, I think, doesn't rely on little tricks of this is how it ends, this is the twist. I think it's more about the development of the people and the characters and the writing. And this book, Moulin Labe, which is Greek for come and take them, you know, it's from the story that's behind the movie The 300, the pass at Thermopylae, the Greeks and the Persians, you know the story. They said, you know, lay down your weapons and we'll let you live. And they said, Moulin Labe, which means come and take them, which is, you know, ancient speak for you can have my guns when you take them out of my cold, dead hands. And that saying probably, the cold, dead hands saying is probably inspired by the ancient Greek saying. Let's see, Hologram of Liberty. He has some books that are out of print. I'm not going to talk them up because you probably, well, Surviving Y2K, you can find used. Actually, you can find it for $4 used on Amazon. It's a good book that was for the possibility of Y2K being a bigger problem than it turned out to be. But it's a good book for any prepper or survivalist, even if that time is long past. So anyway, the Boston book that I'm talking about that just came out that you should check out is called Modules for Manhood, Volume 3. I recommend 1, 2, and 3. They're long books. They're very good. They're worth reading. I would get these for teenage boys. If you know any teenage boys, especially if they're kind of looking for guidance, you know, maybe kids that don't have a father around, this book could be their father. No, this book could probably be better than a lot of fathers, because it has the kind of information that fathers used to teach kids and probably don't so much anymore. The third one is actually about how to find a good wife and how to find a wife that won't take all your money and drive you crazy. It's about a lot of things, but that's mostly what it's about. And that's something, if you can only teach a young man two things, I would say teach him that it's okay to defend himself, teach him how to defend himself, and then teach him how to not find a woman that's going to drive you crazy. So I highly recommend that book, Modules for Manhood, What Every Man Must Know, Volume 3 of 3. Now, another book, and I'm not being paid to say these at all. These are just books I like by authors I like. Another book, another author I recommend actually is Claire Wolfe, C-L-A-I-R-E-W-O-L-F-E, who's what I call an OG libertarian, an original gangster libertarian. She's been writing books longer than Boston. And she's, OG means is the how the kids say original gangster. It means someone who's been around forever. She has written a number of books, and she's kind of famous for one little saying she said in an early book of hers, which is and I'm going to make this radio friendly. She said it's a weird time to be alive. It's too late to change things by voting and too early to shoot the SOBs. And that is the phrase that's most commonly associated with Claire Wolfe, but she's not a screeching, this guy is falling. She actually has a lot of humor in her writing, a lot of love and compassion, characters that you really like. She has fiction books, and she also has nonfiction books. And the book that I want to talk about is her most, there's two books that you really should get by her. One is called Rats, which is a book about finding infiltrators, people that want to take your freedom, people that want to throw you in a cage, regardless of what you're doing. You can get that free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com. And her new book, you can pre-order on Amazon. It's going to be out, April 19th. Oh, huh. Interesting date, April 19th. Is that the day the Revolutionary War started, isn't it? Some people probably say it's Hitler's birthday, but I know we're not talking about that. We're talking about, April 19th, 1775. And, when people say the answer to 1984 is 1776, what they should actually say is the answer to 1984 is 1775, because 75 was when the first shot was fired, and 76 is when a bunch of bureaucrats wrote some stuff on paper. So 75 is the more legitimate date, April 19th. So this book is called The Basics of Resistance, The Practical Freedomista, Book 1. So I guess this is going to be a series. Basics of Resistance, The Practical Freedomista, Book 1 by Claire Wolfe and Kit Perez. And it's the number one new release in Civil Rights and Liberties on Amazon right now, even though it's not out. So I think it's going to do well. It's doing well based on the reputation that Claire has as a producer of high quality freedom based books. So I'd recommend you get this. It's kind of like I read an advanced copy of it, or read some of an advanced copy of it. Boston's book is 888 pages. And the Practical Freedomista is not that long, but it's PDF, so it's not page numbered. The one I had, or a Kindle version, but it's a good length book. Whereas Rats is actually a small book, short book that you can read in a couple hours. But the Basics of Resistance, the Practical Freedomista, Book 1 by Claire Wolfe. I highly recommend it, and it's kind of the I would call it a companion piece. Like, it would go on the same shelf next to Ben Stone's book. Do you have Ben Stone's book? You should have Ben Stone's book. It's a good book. I actually helped do some of the audio editing on the audio book of Ben Stone's book, which is called Sedition, Subversion, and Sabotage, Field Manual, Volume Number 1. Yeah, and that also sounds like it's going to be it's part of a series. And these are not books that are telling you to go out and break things. Absolutely not. These are books to learn knowledge in case the poo hits the fan one day.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
And a lot of people own guns. A lot of people have some water and canned rations in their basement. And even a lot of people who know how to shoot very well would probably learn some tactics for protecting yourself in times of trouble. If Claire's statement... So you should read these books. You should read all these books. I also want to recommend something that works now, that who knows if it'll work when the poo hits the fan. Because really the only way that they can censor any thought of the internet is by turning off the power. They can make it hard to find good information on the internet, but they cannot stop completely you being able to talk to your friends on the... I mean, even in countries like Turkey, where they kill you, you know, where it's like Hitler, they kill you for dissident thought now, or some of the Middle Eastern countries, people still can get information out. People can use virtual private networks, Tor, other tools to speak freely. And the only way they can really stop that is by turning off the power. So the other thing I want to recommend is Cell 411, which is a free app for Android and iPhone, which is really good for communicating with people in a network or a cell that you create. Not like a revolutionary cell. I'm talking like or whatever. I mean, we're not talking there. We're not there yet. But for helping communicate quickly information, including this is my location, with people that you choose. Like, for instance, a family could have cell 411. And if somebody was in trouble, they could press the button on cell 411 and pick which cell they want. And if they only picked the family cell, the information would only go out to the family. It would have their geographic location. It has step-by-step, turn-by-turn directions on how to get to where the person in trouble is. It could also broadcast video, which is shared, which is saved. It's streamed live to your cell, to your friends in your cell. But it's also saved on the Cell 411 servers for a week or two. So let's say you're filming a policeman who is abusing you or somebody or a friend of yours, and or a bully, some other bully, some random person who's bullying you or bullying your kids or whatever. You can film with this. You can stream live with it. And as long as the phone is still filming, you don't lose... Well, actually, even if it stops filming, like if they destroy the phone, the film up to, if they say, I don't want people to see what you just filmed, and they destroy your phone, take it out of your hands by force, you still have the data, and your friends still have the data because it's up on the servers and they can download it. So it's a good way to prevent the destruction of evidence. And bullies, government or private, do like to do things where they are not seen. They like to operate in the dark, in the virtual or actual dark. They like to destroy any proof that they did what they did because they think they're above the law. They think that your rights don't matter. They think that they can prey on the weak or the, you know, and I mean, even if you're armed, you're the weak compared to the police, because the police can kill you even if you're not armed, put a gun in your hand. A lot of police carry an extra gun for that. A lot of police carry 2 or 3 guns. A lot of smart people carry, I mean, it's smart to carry more than one gun because you can lose your gun, it can jam. A lot of police carry a revolver in their ankle holster as a backup, and that gun often does not trace back to them. Like, they either took it off a suspect or, you know, probably took it off a suspect or raided a house or took it from somebody. So they can plant that on somebody and it won't trace back to them. And they really don't want anyone filming them doing things like that. But so Cell 411 can help protect you in situations where you need a record of what happened and someone's trying to stop you having a record of what happened. Cell 411 is free, and it also can be used to help stop bullying of kids. Like, if you had a kid who's being bullied And, you know, he can film the bullies bullying him easily. They can't take, if they take the phone, destroy the phone, you're going to still have the evidence. And, you know, you could call nearby family members. Like if you had a kid in middle school who's being bullied and, you know, his brother's going to school in the same school who's older, he could call his brother with this when he's being bullied. It could, it's a very good tool. Tools like this, you know, the internet is basically the slaves being able to speak to each other, and the government doesn't like that. So I would get these tools, these books, Cell 411, learn to use them. Cell 411 could actually be used to help strengthen groups of people knowing each other and being able to respond quickly, which is a good thing. I mean, it could be used for something as mundane as your car is broken down and you need to call a friend, you know, but it's basically for calling people rather than services. Like you can get a friend to come help you quicker than you can get the police, and the police will sometimes show up and shoot you where your friend won't shoot you. And if he will, you should probably get different friends. So that's Cell 411. All right. So we've talked about some books. We've talked about some tools. Let's talk about some other things now. And wow, let's read some obituaries for the week. I don't usually do this, but two kind of interesting people died this week. One is R. Lee Emery, also known as Gunny, who was in who was the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket, the one who yells at people and calls them snowflakes, who's kind of a funny guy. He's been in a lot of stuff, been a lot of ads, been parodied a lot by a lot of people, been in bunch of reality TV shows, some gun reality TV shows back when you could do that a couple years ago before it was unfavorable. And the other is talk show magnet, I guess I'd say, Art Bell. And I'm sure this will have the tinfoil hats antennas a twitching, but because he's kind of one of the OG original gangsta, the OG conspiracy theorists. He is I mean, Alex Jones grew up listening to Art Bell. That's how old school he is. Art Bell has been, God, when did he start doing radio? I'm going to have to look this up, but 80s, 70s, something like that. There's actually a conspiracy theory about Art Bell, too, which is that I'm not going to say this is true. I have no idea this is true, but this part's true. So Art Bell is, started doing radio. Let's see, his early 1970s, in the early 70s. Yeah, he started on station KIDD in Monterey, California, and then started in 1978 doing a political call-in show called West Coast AM. And then in 1988, it was renamed to Coast AM. And he's done nighttime radio broadcasting ever since. So the weird thing that happened with him, and not saying there's anything to this, but so he was married for a long time, and he was camping with his wife, and she died out in the woods of an asthma attack, and they couldn't get to a hospital in time. And then he, very soon after that, married another woman, another Filipino woman, who looked a lot like his wife, but young. And apparently he had been talking to her since before his wife passed. So there's a lot of conspiracy theory about, you know, he made it happen or let it happen. And I don't think so. I don't know about any of that. But I have asthma. I have severe asthma. I have life-threatening asthma. And I do know that I wouldn't go camping without the necessary medication to deal with that. And I would be highly unlikely to die of asthma out in the woods. People with asthma and allergies bring, you know, asthma inhaler, EpiPen, and I bring canned oxygen anywhere I go. I need that at night. Don't smoke, kids. I smoked for 30 years, been stopped for 5 years, nearly died from it. So stopped smoking, stopped vaping. I stopped smoking for a while and then vaped for a few years. And then vaping really put me over the edge. I mean, it's probably less hazardous than smoking, but it's not safe. A lot of people say it's safe, but they are people who think that just because the government says something's bad, that it's good. That's not the case. A lot of things the government says are bad are not bad, like marijuana. And I mean, put it this way, it's not so bad it should be illegal, although nothing should be illegal except crimes against other people. Because if you really think you own yourself, government shouldn't have any say in what goes in your body if you're an adult, even if it harms you. So So, you know, here's a hint too. If you're a conservative, don't be in favor of the drug war, because those drug cops that are training, practicing, loving kicking in doors and can't live without doing it, who often kick in the wrong door and do things like throw a flash grenade into a baby's crib and cripple him for life, and then laugh at the parents. That's something that happened. Or just, you know, the SWAT teams that love kicking in doors. I mean, they live for it. Those guys, eventually drugs are going to be legal. Those guys are not going to quietly go away. Those guys are going to be the people kicking in the doors of gun owners. So if you're a gun owner and you believe in the war of drugs, you should stop, because it's bad for you. You know, even if you can't wrap your head around the moral principle of it's immoral to kick in the door and steal and kidnap and kill people for doing something that they want to do that's not harming anyone else. That is, you know, if you can't be a good moral human being and understand that it's immoral to kick in doors, you should at least consider being selfish and thinking it's not in my best interest to have a system where cops can search a car anytime they want and do things like, you know, here's a common thing. I learned this from the Boston Tea Party book, and was later confirmed reading the book written by the former cop. The Boston Tea Party book being You and the Police, the book written by the former cop being Arrest Proof Yourself. It's very common when cops pull someone over and bring the drug dogs for the trainer to either signal for the drug dog to start barking, which they can do just with a flick of their finger or a certain look or a certain whispered command, or they actually have like some marijuana in their pocket that they've had their hand on. They walk up to the car and kind of like touch your car, just wipe their finger on it, and it transfers the smell of the marijuana to the car, and then the dog goes nuts, and then they allegedly have the legal right to search your car and find your gun that has too many mags in the clip, or whatever the liberal says, you know, too many rounds in the magazine. Or, you know, if it is an M1 Garand, it's a clip. But cops call it clips too, but it is a magazine. You know, all the things that should be legal that are becoming illegal. Like, you know, there may come a point where having a Bible in your trunk can get you thrown in jail. Do you really want the cops to be able to, you know, search for pot and find the Bible? No. So you don't want to do that. So let's see. Yeah, man. Art Bell died. Gunny died. I'm still here. Somehow, I'm going to be 54 soon. I should be dead. I should have died by 30, but I cleaned up my hand and lived to tell about it. By the way, if people don't know, this is Michael W. Dean, and I'm doing my first ever solo Freedom Fiend show. This is kind of an experiment. I didn't want to announce it at the start of the show because I didn't want to kind of taint it. I wanted people to just kind of look at like, oh, hey, this guy usually has other people on here. But it's hard to find other people to do a show when we used to do it a certain time of night. And we were on 7 nights a week, and we did 5 live shows a week, 4 live shows a week at night. And now we just have 2 pre-taped shows on the weekend. And yeah, it's hard. I work at home and I sleep when I want, which means at any given time, any 24 hour period, any hour, there's about a 50-50 chance I'm awake or asleep, because I have a, I don't know the name for it, but it's a sleep schedule that's not 24 hours. And this is why I learned to be self-employed early on. Like at age 30, you know, by 32, I was self-employed working on my own, 34, and working at home, because I couldn't stand, I could get up and go work in an office, which I did for a long time. And before that, I was a bike messenger, but it slayed me. I couldn't be happy. I could never sleep enough. I could never adjust to that time period, because I have it's not diurnal. That's like a cat or an insect, the beasts that are most active at dusk and dawn. But I'm often that. I mean, I'm recording this at 7 in the morning, and I'm often going to sleep at 7 in the morning, but I slept 8 hours and got up at 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning today, you know, had my breakfast, hung around, petted cats, woke up, and did a show. But there's a term that's escaping me right now, but this is a thing. And if you have this thing, this might relieve you to know, because a lot of people, not a majority, but a good, you know, 10 or 15% of people have this probably, where you don't sleep on a 24-hour schedule, and if you don't have to get up for certain things, you know, you have a 25 or 26 or 27 hour or 24 and a half hour, you know, daily cycle or something, to where if you don't have to get up for particular things, you sleep in a little bit later every day and get up a little bit later. So over a period of months, you go through, you know, totally sleeping in the daytime and being up at night to the opposite of that, to variations of that throughout the continuum. And I have that. So it's hard to find people, you know, when 2/3 of the co-hosts we have about 10 co-hosts now, you know, probably 7 of them have day jobs. And then the 3 of them who don't aren't up yet. So I decided to record a show by myself, and I'm kind of happy. I'm digging it.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
And it'll probably get better with time. So I think the name of this episode is going to be, if you see something, don't say something. And this is very contrary to the government idea of if you see something, say something, which is this fascist Nazi type thing that was implemented after 9/11, to where, you know, you're supposed to snitch on your neighbors, you're supposed to talk to the Stasi, you're supposed to call 911 for anything, you're supposed to email the Department of Homeland Security if you see, you know, a person you don't know on your block. I mean, it's kind of absurd. Like in New York City, you know, they tell you if you see a bag on the street with something in it, you're supposed to call the police. And there was something like that in my town here in Wyoming a couple of years ago. You know, like someone, they found a device and called the bomb squad, and it turned out to be like a discarded car battery with a wire coming out of it that someone just littered and threw on some back street somewhere. Stuff like that happens all the time. And if you see something, say something basically leads to what they, you know, the end result of that is North Korea. The end result of that is China. In China right now, they have a social credit report, which is actually a credit report combined with a report on how good of a citizen you are. And if your neighbors call, you know, the central scrutinizer and say, I saw Jones doing blank and meeting with Smith late at night, it must mean something. Or, you know, even if Jones said to you at the bus stop waiting for the bus that comes 3 times a day, gee, I wish we had more food rations. And now I'm talking more about North Korea, because people in China do not really starve now, because basically, even though China is fascistic, communistic toward the individual there, they're also being probably better capitalists than America in a lot of ways, which is why they're dominating the export business in the world. So, oh, here's a hint. If you want to make America great again, don't put tariffs on foreign things. Remove regulation for starting companies and running companies in America if you want to catch up with China. Although you got to figure out a way to do it in a way that the air doesn't look like, on a good day in China, doesn't look like the air on the worst day in LA, because they have a little bit of a pollution problem there. There are theoretically ways that could be prevented without laws, using shame. I'm not so sure shame works, because I've spent a lot of time on the radio shaming bad libertarians and scammy libertarians who make good libertarians look bad, and people don't listen. So I don't know if shame would work. Maybe it'd be private armies, but then you end up with, like, I don't know, Walmart being like a government. I don't know what you do about air pollution and about national security. I do know who would build the roads, though. without government? Walmart. Walmart and Amazon and anybody else who wants people to be able to get to their physical location would build roads. And then people would probably build communities would probably get together and build the side roads going from those to the houses. Or if government regulation would get out of the way, we'd all have flying cars and roads wouldn't be an issue. So anything that you can say, any of these things they teach you in government school to say, like, but who would build the roads? There's a good counter argument for all of them. And a lot of people say, well, anarchy could never work. And when I say anarchy, I'm talking about anarcho-capitalist voluntarism, not, which is the good kind, not the toxic anti-free speech Berkeley Antifa type. Those are bad people. Those are bad people at this point. And I mean, leftist anarchists used to be kind of quaint back in the 80s. I knew some in San Francisco. They were nice. I dated some. You know, they clean up. They clean up okay. They used to. But now they've embraced violence, you know. And I think the right and the libertarians have had an incredible amount of restraint, considering that the left has gotten to the point where a lot of the left just wants to see us all in a cage or dead. I mean, that's what gun control means. Gun control means you, the listener of this show, in a cage. That's what it means. And any incremental statements of, oh, we don't want to take your guns, we just want to take away the Second Amendment, and we'll still allow you to get a license to have a hunting rifle. And, you know, what that probably ends up is what they have in Ireland, which is, yeah, you can own a gun if you don't have any distant relatives in the IRA, and you have to jump through a lot of hoops to buy the gun, and you have to join a gun club, and you keep the gun and the ammunition under lock and key at the gun club, not in your home and not on your person. So there. Can you hear my cat snoring? My cat Bob is in the back. We have three cats, and one of the cats has asthma. We rescued this cat because he looked like the most pathetic cat there, and he's actually become the most grateful, joyful cat I've ever had. Bob, just, I mean, he's like a puppy. Like, he's not even a kitten anymore. He's a couple of years old. And he'll run up and I'll hold my hand out and he'll jump up and bump my hand with his nose like something a puppy would do. And he's always happy and he starts purring as soon as you touch him. But he has asthma, like me, which is kind of interesting for a cat to have asthma. And he kind of snores and he has a stuffy nose a lot, but he doesn't seem in bad health. He seems in great health. So I think he'd be super cat without asthma. But you might hear him snoring in the background. I'm going to let it happen. If it gets too much, I'll get up and pet him. So let's see what else. So see how we're getting into, if you see something, you should don't say something. And if you see something, don't say something is based on an actor I like named T.J. Miller, who was recently arrested for making a false bomb report for a false bomb threat. I'm not sure exactly what it was. Let's look it up. But he's a funny guy. I like him. He's an actor who's known especially for the show Silicon Valley. He recently left the show and won't really say why. It was a difference of opinion with the creators of the show. I think he's just too strong of a personality and they couldn't control him, and they like to control actors. But T.J. Miller, he played Ehrlich Bachman on Silicon Valley, who's kind of an alpha male jock who's also really smart, which is a weird combination, but they actually exist. There's a lot of them. In Silicon Valley, they call them programmers, like bro programmers. And his website is actually T.J. Miller does not have a website.com. That's kind of interesting. But he was arrested. This is just kind of weird. He was arrested for making a false bomb threat. And it doesn't sound to me like he meant it as a false bomb threat. It sounded like he had a drink or two on a train. And he said some lady kept checking, you know, basically see something, say something, and they arrested him. He saw some lady who kept reaching into her bag but not taking anything out, kept asking somebody when the next stop was and acting fidgety and what he thought was strange. And he called the police and reported her. And he was arrested because she didn't have a bomb. And isn't that kind of odd? Like, if she'd had a bomb, he'd be okay. Like, if he'd been a betting man at the point, he should have bet that she had a bomb. Like, that's what government does. It puts you in a position where you're adversarial against people and you have to hope for the worst outcome. So he was arrested for reporting a false, making a false bomb alert when there was, for an alleged fake bomb threat. That was the charge. And it wasn't an alleged fake bomb threat. He had a little bit too much to drink. He said he had one glass of white wine or red wine, but, you know, he'd been drinking. He had a little alcohol in him, and he saw something, and he said something. He did what the government screams at you 24/7 and tells you what to do, and he ended up in jail. And the moral of the story is never talk to police, really. And, you know, people hear that, and they flip out. They're like, but you have to. The police are our friends. Well, Google this. Google police shoot dog, and then, Google SWAT team raids the wrong house, and you're going to get hundreds of examples. And people always say, well, that's just a few bad apples. But if there were really good police, here's my challenge to police. If you want to be a good cop, arrest the bad cops. But you can't really do that, because when you cross the thin blue line, they ruin you. You know, at best, they make your life horrible until you quit, you know, doing things like sending you out first in the most dangerous missions, reducing your hours, you know, losing your paperwork, making it hard for you to do your job. You know, that's at best, and at worst, they kill you. That has happened before. Watch The French Connection or read the news if you want to know about what happens with, good cops that turn in bad cops. Doesn't turn out well for them. So I guess if you see something, you should not say something. Now, TJ Miller, interestingly, I wanted to look up more of this on Twitter, but I forgot he's blocked me on Twitter. He's blocked me on Twitter because I shared a meme that he clicked like on that was very politically incorrect. And then I cheered him on for having the guts to be someone working in Hollywood who clicked on a politically incorrect meme and liked it. And then he immediately unliked it and blocked me. He immediately realized, oh my, yes, I forgot I have a career in Hollywood. And this is the kind of thing that would destroy a career in Hollywood, just clicking like on this meme. And it was a meme about Hitler. It was definitely not in favor of Hitler, but, you know, that's not funny. You can't joke about that, according to people. And I think you can joke about that. I don't think it's too soon. I think you can joke about Hitler because I think, you know, I thought someone else said this, but I might have been the person that said this because I can't find it by Googling it. I thought Woody Allen said it, but maybe I said it, that all humor is laughing at the fact that we're going to die someday. All humor exists, the laugh reflex exists to not be horrified by the fact that life is finite. I really believe that. And so therefore, it's okay to laugh at Hitler. So or at things about Hitler, or at, you know, the fact that Hitler was a horrible man. So the meme was a painting by Hitler. You know, you've often heard this thing of Hitler was a failed artist. And to me, you're a success. I'm gonna paraphrase Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat here in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. You are a success as an artist if you make art. I think he was talking about music. He said, he said, people say, when's your band going to be successful? He says, I've always been successful, you know, like we all are. I've been successful. As soon as you write a song and play it in your basement, you're a success. You know, as soon as you play for five people at a party, you're a success. Just the fact that you learn to play anything on an instrument makes you a success in some way. By the way, check out my band Biptunia. Speaking of things that not a lot of people like that are really cool, my band Biptunia now has an app called the Biptunia. Just search Biptunia. It's called the Biptunia synth app or something. Search Biptunia. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, India, November, Alpha, Biptunia on the Google Play Store. And you'll get our app, or just go to biptunia.com. You can download the music free. You can also buy it on iTunes and Amazon, etc. But download the app and review it if you like it. It's a free app that has all four of our records, and you can play them either a whole record all the way through at a time. And they kind of work as a piece. They're designed that way, like Dark Side of the Moon or Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys or the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's. It's that kind of album. But the songs work by themselves too, and you can also play the individual songs. And You can also, there's a link to download our latest songs. So you don't have to wait for the next album, and you don't even have to pay. As new songs are uploaded, you'll be able to get them on this app, so check them out. But this meme that I made that TJ Miller liked and then quickly denounced by unliking and blocking me was a painting by Hitler, and they say he was a failed artist, but he was not. It's actually, he actually did good paintings. They're kind of boring. You know, there's still lifes of buildings and people walking around in front of them and cityscapes and the countryside and, you know, things that a budding artist paints on his way to world domination. And I said something like, it was just a picture of his painting. It didn't mention Hitler, but it's, oh, maybe it did. It said, said something like, maybe if people bought more of Hitler's paintings, he would have just kept being a painter and nothing else. And then it says below the picture, so buy my music, biptunia.com. And, you know, the joke is I'm going to become a mass murderer and commit genocide if you don't buy my record, which is not true. I have no plans to harm anyone, and it's humor. But a lot of people got really upset about it. A lot of people really liked it, too, and thought it was funny. And TJ Miller thought it was really funny and then unliked it and denounced me to save his career. And now he's been messed over by the government for doing what they say to do and probably won't have a career after that. You know, the stink of government can ruin careers. I mean, just being investigated for the government, by the government, even though you're never convicted of anything, you know, can ruin the career in a snowflake sensitive place like Hollywood or in publishing or, you know, anywhere. So basically, it's kind of interesting to me how liberals will denounce the blacklists of the 50s, you know, how people that had communist leanings or even were thought to have communist leanings or even voted Democrat in the 50s were blacklisted by Hollywood and everyone had to take oaths, you know, loyalty oaths and had to go before Congress and people were snitching on each other to stay off these lists. That's something that happens. Government turns brother against brother and friend against friend and colleague against colleague and mentor against mentee. Always. And I'm not talking about like how things were in the 50s in America. I'm talking about to one degree or another how every government is everywhere in the world all the time. It always ends up with, you know, them stealing your rights and money and giving you a little bit back of each in exchange for your vote at best. And, you know, throwing you in a gulag for thought crime at worst, where you'll end up. And this is something that someone who got out of North Korea said, that you end up fighting over a piece of corn found in human waste. You end up fighting physically with other family members over that piece of corn because there's no food. That's the end result of government and patriotism, people. Be proud of yourself, be proud of your family, be proud of your friends, be proud of businesses you build. But as soon as you pledge allegiance blindly to a flag or a nation or a concept or of a group or of any tribalist leanings, any tribalist mechanisms, you become vulnerable and gullible for the worst things those things can come up with, and you'll remain an apologist for them. So don't do that. Think for yourself, people. So I just went on Amazon and ordered a little volume control so I can, so you won't hear me sniffling and snuffling on this show next week. I ordered a inline audio volume control, which is actually better than a cough button, because a cough button cuts the volume so quickly that it actually kind of, if it's not a click, some have a click, but some just, it's so sudden compared to even the tiny natural background ambiance of a room, it sounds abrupt. But, turning a volume control really quick gives you a little bit of a step down and a step up, and it's good. So, TJ Miller, yeah, the moral of his story, if you see something, don't say something.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
What else should we talk about today? on this wonderful day, on this wonderful tax day. I'm recording this on April 16th, Monday, tax day, which is different from Tax Freedom Day, which is the day that you are done working for the government each year and start working for yourself, which is Tax Freedom Day, April 24th. So you pay your tax today. Well, you're actually going to hear this later, but you pay your tax April 16th. But this year, the total average effective tax rate of 31% of the nation's income makes your tax day April 24th. Wow. The latest that Tax Freedom Day has occurred was May 1st in 2000. The earliest it arrived was in 1900 on January 22nd. Can you imagine that? If you're going to pay taxes, having them paid by January 22nd, having earned enough to pay them, to pay your VIG on the planet Earth, basically. Taxes are your VIG on the planet Earth. To the loan shark that is the government. You know, I love how they call it a tax refund. No, it's your money. It's returned stolen money. Because, you know, taxation's theft. And anyone who doesn't agree with that isn't really a conservative. Because if you really think that there's... My cat. So April 15th. Well, the first Monday after April 15th. April 16th this year. Pay our taxes. But, you know, you're still paying taxes. April 24th, you got to work till then to earn your VIG on the planet Earth. You know, a friend of mine said something really interesting the other day about getting rich and how to get rich and why most people do it wrong. Virgil Viduva, the creator of the Cell411 app, who did some interesting things and ended up a multi-millionaire. And he kind of lives the American dream because he came to America. He's in his 40s now, mid-40s, I think. He came here in his late teens from Romania, from growing up in communist Romania, growing up in a house with a dirt floor. And his dad sold the family piano to help buy a ticket and have a little money for Virgil to get to America. And Virgil showed up in America with $100, and he is now a multimillionaire. He is the American dream. And so he invested in cryptocurrencies and got really smart with them, which anybody can get really smart with them. It helps if you are computer savvy to begin with. It'd be quite a learning curve to really not be computer savvy and then learn enough about cryptocurrencies to make money. But, and this is not investment advice. Your mileage may vary. All investments have risk, and I'm not going to give any particular coins that he invested in. But he bought cryptocurrencies and then bought other ones and did some day trading and some week trading and some month trading and some year trading with them to the point where he just bought a mansion. I mean, I've seen a picture of this house. It is stunning. And he drives an Audi, and he's very, he donates to a lot of causes, and not necessarily like tax deductible government ones, but like, you know, the ones where it doesn't get siphoned through and get spent on $600 chairs and trips to, to houses of prostitution, like government so-called charity and like some private charity. I think the Red Cross has been criticized for spending like 60 or 70 or 90% of the money they get on administration. But, you know, donating money to people that have useful one-on-one causes that are good to help others and to spread liberty. So he's a good guy. But a lot of people ask him advice, you know, when they saw him starting to get rich. And especially after he got quite rich, they asked him, you know, how do you get rich? How do you invest in cryptocurrencies? One thing that he did was he didn't quit his day job. He had a job, you know, making well over minimum wage, doing computer work in an office at a job he did not like. And he has a wife and two kids. And, you know, has a lot of overhead, money has to come up with to support everybody and buy the things they need and take care of them. But he didn't quit his job even after he's a millionaire. I mean, he started trading cryptocurrencies and ended up wealthy and kept his day job long after he wanted to, so he could keep buying cryptocurrencies when they were down. And then they went way up and everybody asked him, like, instant messaged him, emailed him, called him, wrote him on Facebook, wrote him on Twitter, went over to his house, everything. Just, how do I do what you did? And he, this is another thing I really like about him, is he was really giving with his time, and he'd sit down and talk to people and share his ideas and his concepts with them and tell them exactly what he did and exactly, I mean, you can't really tell someone exactly how to get rich. You can only do what you tell what you did, and then they can figure out their own way from it. Because if it was as simple, if it were as simple as here are the steps to get rich, everyone would be rich. But so he did help people, anybody who wanted to know, even strangers. He would sit down and tell them what he did. And this, he got asked constantly when the price was up. When the price went down, people stopped asking him, you know, which doesn't make sense. Because really, you should be buying when you should really want to know how to get in when the price is low. You shouldn't want to know how to get in when the price is high. But that's why most people aren't rich, because they don't think like that. You know, they don't even think sensibly of, oh, the price. When crypto's down, the mainstream media screams that crypto is failing. They just say it over and over and over. But smart people say crypto's on sale. You know, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Monero, Ripple, things like that. I'm not naming particular things you should invest in. I'm saying in case I buried the lead and there are actually people living in a cave who don't know what a cryptocurrency is, that's what I'm talking about, is peer-to-peer networks, commonly called coins or tokens, that allow people to take the control of the money out of the government, which is really terrifying to the government. I'm really surprised they haven't outlawed him yet. They have outlawed him in other countries, but I think that a bunch of people in the government want to buy a bunch first now that there's money. They're going to take their stolen tax money and get in and, you know, confiscate them from people like they did with the Silk Road guy, which was just a travesty, because that guy was actually, you know, by creating a place to anonymously buy drugs through the mail and through other courier services, he was saving lives, not ending lives, because people are going to buy drugs no matter what. Prohibition doesn't work. We learned that with alcohol. It just ends up with a toxic product. And with prohibition of alcohol, the government, people always say, oh, well, people ended up going blind from poison moonshine. What they don't tell you is that moonshine was poisoned by the government. What they tried for a while was, instead of arresting people, they would arrest them. Well, instead of just arresting them and, like, you know, throwing their liquor down the drain like they do for the news cameras, they would secretly take the confiscated booze, open it up, put rat poison in it, seal it back up, and then leave it on the street somewhere where some gang was known to live. So the gang would pick up the pallets and go sell it on the black market, and people would die. And the government could say, see, people are dying. We need you to protect. You need us to protect you. And that's not how things would work in the free market. In the free market, you wouldn't kill your customers, because you'd lose. Even if you hated people, you'd want your customers alive, because even if you can't wrap your head around the moral reasons why you shouldn't kill people, you could be selfish and say it's self-serving to keep my customers alive because dead customers don't keep buying. So, you know, a lot of people attach a moral problem to drugs and alcohol. And yes, there are things that are physically addicted, but that's a medical issue. It's not a moral issue. And there are people who are constitutionally incapable of stopping an addiction for good. And they're looked at as weak by a lot of people. You know, a lot of people, like I've heard people say, a common libertarian thing to say, and I agree with this, is that, like, recently you've had a bunch of people getting very ill from smoking what's called synthetic marijuana, which is who knows what chemical made in China in some dirty lab. And I've seen, there's a Vice documentary about this. You should look at it. The lab is very dirty, that they, there's, like, you know, rust and scum on the walls and the floor. And, you know, so stuff made who knows where, sold at gas stations with no, I wouldn't even say no regulation, but no oversight. Like, in a free market, there'd be competitors, and there'd be, like with marijuana, you're starting to now get testing services where respected laboratories for a fee will test your marijuana that you're selling and certify this batch, these tons of marijuana as pesticide free, as salmonella free, as having exactly this average amount of THC in it. So you actually have not regulation, but good products without regulation, which is how things would work in the free market. That's how things would work without government controls. You would have, you know, you could still buy this stuff that in a free market that is bad for you and may be bad for you, may be of dubious lineage for a lot cheaper. But most people would want to pay a little more for the stuff that they know is good, you know, and it's the same way now. With things in the free market, like not everything is regulated. The government tries to, but you know, you can buy a used car that'll, the brakes will fail and they'll kill you, you know, in some states, and people will still do it because they'd rather save the money to spend on, I don't know, what do people like? Fancy blue jeans with rhinestones in them. I don't know, stuff they think they need. So, you know, you should be able to make your own decisions, but you should not be prevented from making informed decisions. Like, for instance, the reason harder drugs like cocaine and meth, which are poison, but people are going to do them no matter what. I mean, they're not poison, but in the pure form, they are not good for you. And generally on the street, they're cut with poison or anything. They're cut with, you know, fingernail polish or toenail goo or I don't know about that, but I know that any powder from Ajax to baby laxative to vitamin C is a common one because it's commonly available and it's bitter and it kind of looks like cocaine to, you know, tar heroin. I know used to be cut with burnt sugar and shoe polish in San Francisco is what I heard. But in you know, if those things were legal, you wouldn't need government regulation of the purity of them because you would have, you know, you'd want to buy the A plus crystal meth, you know, and the A plus crystal meth would have the certification from XX company.
The 6th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, fest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
ZYX Labs that would certify it as pure and, you know, 99.X number pure and not containing any toxins or biological illnesses. So basically, most of the death in the drug trade comes from the government. Most of the violence in all the violence in the drug trade comes from the government, because without the government, you know, you'd have, like, you have alcohol now. Like, you don't have, the common saying is you don't have Budweiser trucks shooting it out in the street with Miller Lite trucks because they're not illegal and there's enough of a market for everybody in a free market to where you don't have to practice homicidal, you know, market share grabbing practices. So government regulation just leads to pain, insanity, and death, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, man, what else is new? Robots are writing news now. That's a thing. Yeah, that's a really weird thing. Wired Magazine article about this called "What News Writing Bots Mean for the Future of Journalism." So basically, yeah, there are bots writing news now that, you know, bots being a robot can be either a physical thing with hardware in it, like the mechanical arms that are basically building automobiles now. And they can also just be software. They could be things like these news bots that surf the web, look for news, you know, subscribe to several news sources, and then write news based on it. And Jeff Bezos from Amazon is using these for the Washington Post, which he bought in 2013. And, you know, the reason that Obama is going so hard against, I mean, no, Obama, Trump, it's hard to tell them apart. They're basically the same person. And that's going to really irk a lot of people listening, but they really are. They really both want to control you. They both are elites in their own way who think they know better about you and your money and your country and your body than you do. And they both lie. All politicians lie. What Trump hates, why he's going after Amazon, is that Jeff Bezos owns a paper that is critical of Trump. So Trump doesn't like free speech. He calls it fake news, and he wants to He's tweeting at Amazon talking about trying to put him out of business, basically, because he says that they're losing the money for the post office. The post office has been losing money for 100 years, and part of the reason for that is because huge pensions that are way beyond the free market. And I mean, to where like they're paying people to pension for life to retire at 40. A friend of mine who was a mailman was paid to do that not too long ago. He gets a, he got like $65,000 in a lump sum, and then got $1,000 a month for life to retire at 40 after being a mailman for like 13 years. Which, you know, $1,000 a month isn't much, but it's quite a pension to get at age 40. And he also has medical insurance for life, so that's worth a lot right there. So the post office has been losing money forever, and they cut a deal with Amazon. It's not like Amazon is sneaking millions of packages a day into the postal units. You know, they're paying for them, and they made a deal with the post office that was a little better than the deal for people who send a single package. But the reason the post office is such a problem is because is in the hole so far is because it exists. Because in this day and age, you don't need it. And it's one of the things that's actually one of the few things the government's supposed to do that's actually in the Constitution. Actually, the phrase in the Constitution for the duties or roles of the federal government, the very, very limited roles that are spelled out for the federal government. One is building the postal roads, and this is back when post was delivered by horse. And I think the postal roads are built, so I think the government can just go home. I think, thanks guys, mission accomplished, quietly step out of the way and give everyone 40 acres and a mule and go home. Get real jobs. Yeah. So anyway, in conclusion, free market good, tyranny bad. I guess what I would say, the bottom line is, the takeaway from this one, I think, is don't just fight for your own freedoms. Don't just believe in your own freedoms. Don't just worry about your own freedoms. Really, don't worry. I mean, be concerned, but don't worry. Don't drive yourself nuts. Take a break from the interwebs, from the radio, from the podcast, from the YouTubes, and go outside or just stay home and call a friend. Talk to a friend. Talk about the weather. Start with the weather and go deeper from there. Talk about things other than the latest tyranny. On my Facebook right now, my header is an image I made that says, and this really sums it up, taxation is theft. Self-defense is an innate right. All government is immoral. However, if that's all you ever post about, and or your posts seem to be in a constant state of panic, I probably don't want to talk to you. Because that becomes kind of a cyclical, fear-based... It's bad for your heart, man. It's bad for your blood pressure. It's bad for your liver. It's bad for your limbic system and your brain. I mean, your limbic system, all them systems. It's bad to just be, like, in fear all the time. And that's really where the government wants you. Don't do it. Don't do it, people. Limbic system in the brain. Yes, it includes all of the things that include the flight and fight response and emotion, behavior, motivation, long-term memory, all those things. So you don't want to overstimulate that to where you're in fear all the time. It's not good for you. But really, in closing, don't just fight for your own freedoms. You know, don't say guns are good. Everything else I don't care about. You know, there's a movie you should watch that I happen to have directed called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. It's you can watch it free at gunsandweed.com. And I do not smoke weed. I do not take drugs. I don't take drugs. I've been sober since 94. Don't even drink. Don't even smoke cigarettes. I drink coffee. That's a drug. But people don't ruin their lives for coffee. It's actually good for you to have a little coffee. But I fight for the rights for people to do things that affect themselves. So check out gunsandweed.com. Check out Biptunia, the music, the app, the man, the myth. It's actually me and my friend, Phil Warmoth. It's good stuff. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.